Josh Santill, and I'll be giving the word today. And today we'd just like to speak about the value of goodness and, you know, how it still matters in this world. And goodness is what we're seeking. Goodness is what blesses people and blesses their hearts. And it's goodness that's going to make the world a better place. For the longest, the U.S. has been considered a Christian nation. And we're losing that marker today. And some people think it's to our demise. But I feel, you know, we haven't been worthy of it in a while. So, but everyone knows the majority of people are Bible-believing, Christ-believing in America. And one thing about Christianity and the theology is the idea of grace. And it's actually unique in our religion that everything we've done or will do have been atoned for. You know, Christianity is almost the only thing that offers such penance or, you know, atonement for sin. Jesus Christ, he paid for our sins on the cross. And we're thankful for that. But, of course, man being who he is, and man with his nature, perverted grace. Tried to exploit it. We try to exploit everything we put our hands to. Just the nature of man. Just the evilness in our heart. But as Apostle Paul said, you know, as long as this flesh is with us, this battle, you know, will never be won. We have to constantly be in war with it, war against our nature, so that we may be the most human, the most holy, as good as we can be. But man has perverted the theology or the gospel, the theology of Christianity, to where you find Christians having poor character and never doing right by each other or men in the world, having poor character. We're susceptible to that because of the nature of our theology, to where we don't answer to no man, we only answer to God. Then all we have to do is pray to Jesus, and everything we do is forgiven, as if we're not dealing with men still in this world. You still have to do good by your brother, by your neighbor, by your leader. Still have to do good by them. Not saying to lay low and be boo-boo the fool, be exploited by them, but you still have to have character in this life. Yes, God forgives, and Jesus' blood covers all. But we've lost the idea of still being good people. And that's why there's as many homeless people as there is churches in this country, because we're not pious. If you ever dabble in philosophy, you'll come across that word a lot, especially in Plato's writing or in Socrates' thoughts, piety. For instance, in Greek mythology or in Greek beliefs and pagan beliefs, they believe that there's many gods, and then you hear tales of gods who've attained power through mischief, you know, who've attained power underhandedly, things like that. So you would imagine that underhanded deeds to be what pleased those gods, and there be, you know, gods of mischief, etc., gods of things that are of ill character. You know, as there is gods of things that are of good character, like justice. So to do something pious is to do something that pleases God. And Socrates argued that that's not what piety is. Piety is to do something that is good, and that which is pleasing to God, which begs the question, you know, is that one person really a god if he's doing things that are, you know, of ill character, you know, that are wrong, things that are mischievous, that are underhanded, that are evil? Is that thing God? You know, and which begged a different question, because the definition of God is that nothing that can be conceived greater. So if there's many gods, you know, who's their God? Who's greater than them? To be many gods, to be no God at all. And, you know, Socrates believed there was one God, and that God is the one that has all good qualities in him, and only good qualities in him. And to answer to him is to answer to goodness. To keep his ways is to be good. Yeah. And to fear God is to appeal to goodness. That's all God wants from us in the end. Okay. Now we think about goodness, like, and how God loved us, or like while we were yet sinners, and he sent Jesus to die for us while we were yet sinners. So, you know, our goodness, and of course, they're of no avail to him. Anything we do that is good is can't count before him. But that's just the nature. That's the nature of God. He's just so high above us. It's not that he don't see it. It's not that he don't see your heart behind it. Imagine a kid that wants to draw you a picture. Your child wants to draw you a picture, draw you the best they can. You know, they do it with all their heart and out of love for you. You'll appreciate it, but you're never going to sell that picture for $500,000. It's not a work of art, you know, but it means probably more to you than that work of art. And God's the same way. That's the nature of a father. Now, goodness and good character, we have to still appeal to that. That's still part of it. People think, it's all about your faith. It's not about your work. But faith without works is dead. So it's kind of like almost a catch-22. They hold up each other. You know, faith and works hold up each other. Your faith fuels your work, and your work is evidence of your faith. So to fear God or respect God is to respect goodness and respect the things that he holds high. And as we see throughout the Bible, it speaks about how, you know, he doesn't delight in the blood of lambs and such. And it's a reoccurring theme that he delights in taking care of the widow and the orphan. That's the most charitable thing you could do. So anything in between counts also. She's telling you, I want you to do the polar opposite of being selfish, you know, taking care of the most disenfranchised, the most marginalized people. And that's God's nature. And to say you fear God, to say you respect him, to say you're a follower of God, which means to say those who follow me are those who keep my, or those who love me are those who keep my commandments, which his commands are summed up in two verses: to love your neighbor as yourself, and love him above everything. To keep his commandment is to be good. It's to be good. It's a long way about it, but at the end of the day, it's about goodness. Just like every religion seeks out goodness. Just that's the nature of it. Because religion is kind of like our pursuit for God. And God is goodness. God is good. That's what they mean by God is good. Yes, bad things happen, you know, and such. But God is good. That's what he consists of. That's what he is. He is good. He's goodness. That's what he looks like. That's the mirror of God, goodness. So now that we have that out the way, you have to understand, like, the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, he set all accounts. Anybody he owed or did dirt, he rectified that. Now that stood out to Christ. And he gave alms to the poor. And that stood out to Christ. You know, Jesus came in, stayed at his house, and, you know, Jesus looked down upon for it. But Jesus saw his heart. Jesus saw how he wanted to atone for his wrongdoings and things like that. And ultimately, we can't atone for our wrongdoings, but Jesus has done that for us. And that stood out. That stood out to Christ. And Christ would sully himself as to go to a house of a sinner, because all the public looked down on him because he was a tax collector. And everybody knows tax collectors back in the days were underhanded, were kind of getting rich, and Zacchaeus got wealthy off of it, you know. But he wanted to do right by people, and Jesus called him a son of Abraham, which means, you know, he's a son of God. He's still a chosen people. He's still God's people. You know, so he honored him by calling him the son of Abraham. You know, for his heart and his actions. And then Cornelius in the Bible, who was devout and prayed to God, and it went out this way to mention that he was charitable and gave alms to the poor. Again, you know, that reached out that pulled on God, and God sent the angel his way and told Peter about him. And Peter went to him and told him about Jesus and the gospel of salvation. And they prayed for him and gave him, and he received the Holy Spirit. But it's his goodness. His good acts that God noticed. You know, being a good person, when you have integrity of heart, when you have character, it still matters. It still matters. It'll extend grace to you regardless. And we think, as Christians, we think just because we know the prayers, we know this, that, and the other, we can bypass having good character now. Do dirt by the people of this world because they're not the chosen people. We're the chosen people by faith, and God's covering us, and they're condemned already. As if Jesus didn't say God causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. We're all given. You know, God has love for all of us. You know, we're all the same. Just that. We have salvation, and the other doesn't. But we have no favor. We have no favor more than that of the world. You know, we're given just as much a chance as them. But then we have His truth working in our favor. Our faith in things that we have, our biblical practices that apply. We apply that work in our favor. But God appreciates goodness, and goodness can't leave us. Like, we need to stop trying to master God, master the theology to where we could beat around go maybe in a roundabout way, get into salvation by doing all these things and never bettering ourselves and bettering our character, you know, by praying these prayers, giving money to these churches, to these men of God, and them maybe stroking your ego and telling you God forgives you, or you're such a charitable person. And, you know, God sees that. And just to really get a free pass out of the change in our hearts that God is looking for. We have to change. It's imperative. If we don't change, we don't benefit the world. We won't benefit the world. And Jesus set us out here to be salt of the earth and the light of the world. You know what I mean? We're to bring heaven down on earth. We're to better society. We're to bring righteousness. Rightness. We should bring people back to the right way of living. Because we have the truth and we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And our conscience and our actions, character align with God, which is the right path, which is the way to live. And we need to go out there and bring that culture to this world, to save this world, to spare this world from destroying itself, which is what it's doing. You have the Muslims, for instance. Their religion hinges on good actions. So poverty is virtually non-existent, less than 1%. Like homeless, you know, or poor, because their religion hinges on that. Like they won't live, they won't see God, they won't see heaven if they're not good people. And you see, it's that kind of tyranny men need to be provoked to goodness. And when you take that tyranny from them, they won't do right. But we can't be like that. You know, you got to be good for goodness' sake. You know, people think, oh, you're storing up treasures in heaven. Your reward is in heaven. Though true, that's a statement to dismiss trying to be rewarded in this life. Because that's not the point of it. Even though it does come back to you, just you reap what you sow. It always comes back to you. It's just a law of nature. But if you can't expect, you're not to expect reward in this life. So dismiss the idea of trying to be good for reward. You know, because people are gonna do you dirt. They're gonna do you dirt. Then you're gonna get fed up. You're gonna be like, this ain't working out. And then you'll stop doing, being righteous, being good. You know, but if you see God, if your point is to be pious, to please God, you know, with your goodness, to love Him, and with your goodness, you'll never lose heart. But it's easy to get distracted, you know, and after getting. Like Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You know, you only have so many cheeks to turn. So you're going to try to bow up on people and try to take your stake in this life aggressively. But true strength is keeping character regardless of how people do you. That's true power. You know, Jesus was so strong because he was so enlightened. He said, forgive them. But they know not what they do, whether they spat on him, beat on him, just that and the other. Because he had true strength, being the Son of God. So, in a nutshell, pursue goodness, y'all. Pursue goodness. Seek it out. Seek out piety. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, because David was caring. You know, he kept his word. Even after the death of his best friend, Jonathan, he honored two generations after, I think, Jonathan's grandson, or it may have been his son, who was a cripple. He sought out his lineage so that he may honor him. He didn't have to do that. Jonathan was dead and gone. Jonathan would have remembered that. He would have been like, oh, well. But, you know, David was a man after God's own heart, so it was his character to do that. God honors every promise he made, even the promise he made to Abraham. That's why he never utterly destroyed Israel whenever they would disobey him. But David made sure his crippled descendant lived like a king the rest of his days, because he honored Jonathan. And there were a time when David and his army were in war, and half of the army was injured or tired and couldn't go to war, so only half went. And when they won in battle and it came time to divide the spoils, soldiers were like, no, they didn't work for it. They don't deserve no spoils. You know, they weren't here with us fighting this, that, and the other. But David, you know, got mad and he said, let this be a decree in Israel forever. Whatever spoils we get from war, they would be distributed with everyone equally. You know, reason why? Because David was a man after God's own heart. This is what it is to be pious, y'all. And we know that it's hard, especially in the world that we live in, to be a good person. You know, it's hard because people are just so evil and manipulative. And then you have the way society's held up. The wisdom of this world is not the wisdom of God. So you seem foolish when you try to be good in a dog-eat-dog world. You see, you're not respected. You're not. So not only are you taking advantage of, your mocked at the same time. It seems, and sometimes it's hard to take. It's really hard to take. And I mean, sometimes you're going to have to dip your head into the darkness of the world to preserve your life and preserve what's yours. Just the nature of a fallen world. You know, sometimes good men have to go to war because it's just the nature of a fallen world. But we must pursue piety. We must pursue goodness. And it's our goodness that's going to flow out of us and help this city. It's going to help the lost. That's going to help this world and make it right. But Jesus gave us a better turn. You know, he gave us the Holy Spirit to be with us in a way like it wasn't in the olden days. Before, if you spent so much time with God, just like Moses did, or some of the prophets did, it was just the Holy Spirit would come over those men or women of God, because that's just the side effect of spending time with God. But now, you know, he's given it in abundance to where anyone who believes and just asks for it, you know, he'll give the Holy Spirit to you. And the nature of the Holy Spirit, what it is, it's like instantaneous alignment with God. But it's a source you have to keep, because it dwindles with time. The more you're out of the source, the more that you're in this world thinking about, you know, things of this world and dealing with the people of this world and the ways of this world, you know, it dwindles with time. So you have to stay in the source. You have to, in that source, which is God, you have to constantly commune with him and learn about him, love on him, and ask for that renewing and replenishing of the Spirit that's in you. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, it just makes everything instantly right. It's not because men could be good over time through experience, and they can learn good character with sheer effort. But then there's the Holy Spirit, you know, which really changes you. makes you born again, which is a new birth, which quickens the spirit in you, quickens the God, that God man in you, and makes you a good man. So let's go out there, seek God, seek His Spirit, so that we may be good men of, you know, of good character, good men who are good men and women who are honorable and respectable, who are kind, who are loving, you know, who are forgiving, who, when people see you, they know everything's going to be all right because you're a blessing. You know, any situation you come to, you change it. You're that peacemaker, or you're that person, you know, who's there whenever somebody's going through a hard time, whenever they're mourning. They know everything's going to be all right when they see you. You know, your presence brings joy because you're a good person. You're that catalyst. Be that. All right, I'm going to give us a chance to take offering. Pray us out. Lord God, we thank you for this day you've given us, for your protection, your guidance. Lord Father, help us go out there and be good people, Lord. Be good men and women. Lord, ask you to help us prosper with our prosperity, Lord God. We may bless the earth. In your name we pray.